the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Welcome to Pass the Damn Ball. I am your host, Mitchell Adams. You can follow me on Instagram at MitchAdams209. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at PassTheDamnBall_. Morale is low today. Green Bay Packers season has come to an end. I predicted Chiefs vs. Packers Super Bowl that is not coming into fruition. I predicted the Packers would beat the Eagles on the road wild card weekend. That did not come to fruition. Jordan Love, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Nixon fumbling a stupid, questionable call of unnecessary roughness throwing Jalen Hurts to the ground. A stupid penalty, not penalty, a stupid confirmation. What's the point in having instant replay when clearly the replay shows Nixon recovered the fumble, very first play of the game. Returns it. Me and my dad were talking before, right before. Hope the Packers do not receive. The last couple games the Packers received, you know, losing streak. They haven't started off well. The defense has played stout. The defense was the better between the offense. The defense was a phenomenal. Quay was everywhere. Cooper, McKinney. I mean, they played their hearts out. Gary getting a sack. And that fumble by Nixon to start the game, you know, the fact that he put himself in a position for that call to happen, it shouldn't have happened. But if you're going to have replay review, and we see clearly that Nixon recovers the ball and defenders are touching him, so he's down with the ball, we couldn't challenge because it was confirmed, even though the confirmation wasn't correct. And again, this is not why the Packers lost. It's just a really interesting way to start a game. And that gave the Eagles the ball on the 28, and then they score. Easy touchdown. The score is 7-0, and not even 2 minutes has gone off the clock yet. Oh, man. Jalen Hurts did not play well. Jordan Love didn't play well, but Jalen Hurts, although he was on the winning team, he did not play any better. The Eagles were not special. This was an ugly win. Nothing impressive about this. If you're an Eagles fan, and we've seen, there's been this video going viral of this Eagles fan disrespectfully talking to a Green Bay Packers fan who was a woman, saying very nasty things to her. Not a good reflection on the Eagles fan base. And Philadelphia is a very passionate fan base, and this doesn't reflect every fan from Philly, but this is the type of bullshit that make, you know, fan bases not wanting to go to an Eagles game. But that just comes with the territory. It was the same thing for the Black Hole when the Raiders played at the Oakland Coliseum. You know what you were getting into when you go to those games. It's the same thing for 49er games. 49er games right now are, you know, you were an opposing team. They're going to talk mad shit to you. But Philly's on a different level. Just not a good environment for the Packers yesterday to do anything significantly positive. Josh Jacobs was a positive. That jersey tear run right before the start of the fourth quarter that put them on the 1 yard line that got the only touchdown for the Packers. Josh Jacobs, heart of the team. Man finished with 81 yards on 18 carries. Jordan Love, again, zero touchdowns, three interceptions, 20 for 33, 212 yards. Jalen Hurts, 13 for 21, 131 yards, two touchdowns. Packers were already without Christian Watson and Jair Alexander, which there are airwaves coming out about Jair Alexander not declining to do any post-media end-of-the-season interview. I guess he's gone. Let's just start the divorce. Let's just go. Push through it. That's what's going to happen. Trade him. Watson out. Reed got injured. Dobbs, I hope he's okay, reaggravated his head concussion. He was out. Packers lost their all-pro lineman, Mr. Jenkins. And we brought in our rookie, Garrett, who only played 13 snaps. Glover. Only played a total of 13 snaps before this game and had two critical penalties. And then we had to sit him out. Just brutal, agonizing, deflating, demoralizing. Matt LaFleur, I don't know. You start a game off like that with a fumble that turns into 7 points for the other team. That's not good. That's not good. There's a lot of Jordan Love slander getting out there. People tend to forget that Brett Favre threw 6 interceptions once upon a time in a playoff game. I encourage people to Packer fans, because there's a lot of talk, a lot of loudness, a necessary loudness of fire Matt LaFleur, or should be on the hot seat, or Jordan Love, huge waste of money. Guys, Jordan Love, in his first 2 years as a starter, has led the team to the playoffs. Back-to-back years. Was there a little regression offensively? Yes, at the end of the season. That doesn't all fall on Jordan Love's shoulders, though. Matt LaFleur needs to come back next year, reflecting on some of the decisions he made, especially when it mattered most, crunch time. And he needs to coach a lot more cleaner next year. Maybe a little less emotional. I love seeing emotion, passion out of coaches, but sometimes in big moments, like we saw against Chicago, you get froze up, you don't think straight, and you leave enough time for the opposing team to go down the field and score. Morale is low. I'm proud of I love this team. Damn proud of this defense that has me extremely giddy for next year. Josh Jacobs, on his post-game interview, said he's going to try to bring in some guys. I would not mind Max Crosby joining this Packers team. And defensive end is a need for the Packers. Cornerback, also a need for this Green Bay team, especially with Jair going to be traded to God knows where else. Stokes is a free agent. And wide receiver. Already rumors of T. Higgins circulating. I wouldn't mind T. Higgins. I asked my dad yesterday, who would you rather have, T. Higgins or Max Crosby? He said T. Higgins. I'd say Max Crosby, but both. I wouldn't be upset either result, because both can help either the defensive side for Crosby, or Higgins can help offensively, and that could be Jordan Love's number one target. Hopefully Christian Watson comes back stronger and healthier than ever. He may miss the start of the regular season. So Packers need a number one receiver. And with that, the Packers season coming to an end, I wrote my last recap article, last one for the season for Cheesehead TV yesterday. Unfortunately, it was the third recap I wrote in a row where it was a loss. So that sucks. But Writing recap, you know, it's not the most sexiest part of writing or covering sports. And I was told that as a journalism major, you know, writing recaps, that's how you get your start. It's boring. You're just reflecting on things that people already know. If your team loses, who wants to go back and read a recap? But man, it was great experience. And I got to write 20 different recaps from 2 preseason games, 17 regular season games, and a playoff game. I was able to write every single recap. And I'm damn proud of that. And I'm thankful for the guys at Cheesehead TV for giving me an opportunity for that recap. Nagler, Corey, Jersey Al, you guys do a great job. And then Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast. I look forward to continuing to do work with these gentlemen in the future. Maybe it'll be recaps. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be something else. But Cheesehead TV, very lucky for that opportunity. And we'll continue to, you know, see what happens with the future. Looking forward to future collabs with them. Go Pack, go. Carry the G.
The damn ball.
Would you pass the damn ball?
Speaking of Max Crosby, him leaving Raider Nation is not something the Raider fans want to hear, but it may be inevitable at this point. Sorry, my boy Tino. Tino killed it. That might be sad to hear that reality, but I want to shout out my boy Tino because he is on this next edition of Bartender Banter, where we reflect on some beginning of the season predictions. Some went well and some did not. So here you go. Enjoy.
I believe that regardless whether the Chiefs end up winning the division or just making it to playoffs, they're going to put themselves in a good position once playoff time comes around. That's the one thing that I feel is hands down the answer there for that. For the Raiders, this is the year that I really hope that it leans in on the defense. You know, I think we put a lot of, like we were just talking about, we put a lot of, like, emphasis on the offense. We put a lot of emphasis on, you know, coaches and stuff like that to make these things work. But then you got, like, you've got, like, our defense where it's, like, they're coming into their own, right? They can be one of the top defenses in the league. And if there's anything that we've always say about defenses, it's that defenses can win games. Defenses win games.
Pierce could be, you know, because Mike Vrabel, right? How he took over Tennessee, exactly, and made them a force. Pierce could has that same upside potential, right? As absolutely a head coach.
Absolutely. And you can't tell me AOC isn't at least in the same category as Ryan Tannehill. Not saying that I want to put any sort of reputation on Tannehill. But you get what I'm saying? I'm like, if you're gonna take something away from a guy, just know that he doesn't really have too much to compete with there. Like,
Tannehill catching strays.
I have enough like confidence in Aiden O'Connell as a starting quarterback to be better than Ryan Tannehill was for the Tennessee Titans.
That's just.
Or if not him, at least Gardner Minshew. Both of them. Like I said, I told them this off like we were talking before we recorded, but I mean they could split the snaps down the middle for all I care for the whole duration of the season.
You know what I had to do to get this Ryan Tannehill jersey?
They're gonna be saying the same thing about Gardner's Raider jersey in a few years, but that's okay because it's like realistically, man, they just need to pass the damn ball, get it to Davante Adams, and then the defense just has to be the top defense. If the defense can do that, they put themselves in a very good position to contend in the division. Because to the point that you made earlier, too, the last team to beat the Chiefs was the Raiders. We have their number, and that goes a long way when it comes to this division. Now, the Chargers and the Broncos, I feel like, are just going to have to kind of fight for third and fourth place in that position. Unless Russell Wilson has, you know, one of the big, or, oh, sorry, not Russell Wilson. I forgot. He's not in Denver anymore.
Yeah, he's in Pittsburgh.
He's in Pittsburgh now.
With Justin Fields. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing for another day. So, yeah, those two are just going to fight for the bottom.
So, your first four games, the Raiders schedule, four games.
Chargers, I know, is the first.
Yep, at home. Or the Chargers are at home, not in San Diego, Los Angeles. Then the Raiders, so open up with two road games. go to the East Coast to play Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Then you open up at home against Carolina, and then followed by Cleveland at home.
Hey, that's a good round. That's good right there.
Are
that's
you 2-2? 2-2
or 3-1, potentially. Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah, because the thing with Cleveland, it's not going to be their offense, it's their defense. You know what I mean? If Myles Garrett makes it a hell of a day for AOC or Gardner or whoever's back there, then that could be a difficult game.
The Ravens, I think that's the one guarantee L.
I feel like we get humbled that game. That's a humbling game, and I'm okay with that. You know, I think they go confidently in the Charger Stadium. They take it. It's kind of a home away game, right? Then they come home thinking they're gonna, you know, be 2-0, and then get kind of humbled by Baltimore. And it's like, okay, we got to bounce back. And then you get the Carolina Panthers to be able to kind of ego boost yourself again. And now you either ride that high, stay home, right, to play the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And ride that win, or it's another humbling experience. So.
Denver, you're on the road at Denver, then you're at home against Pittsburgh.
See, Pittsburgh has all those question marks right now, dude. I don't want to think they're going to be good, but I'm actually very interested to see how their year plays out. I'm actually very intrigued by it.
The Raiders over under was 6.5. What are you taking?
Biasly, over, every time, easily.
7 wins. I can see you guys getting 7 wins.
I can too. You know what I mean? Hell, we got to get at least 3 in division. So I imagine.
You guys finished last in your division last year?
No.
Denver did?
I believe the Chargers did.
Let's fact check this real quickly. Mm-hmm. See, West Division. We all know that the Chiefs won. Let's see.
Or maybe it was the Broncos. I think you might.
Oh, come on, guys. Why are we looking at this year's standard? I'm saying, guys, like my IT crew was running this, and it's me right now.
Yeah, come on, production team. It's hard to find good help.
It's okay. It's good to know at least we're a 0.2 at it, so that's not a bad thing.
Right.
We're doing great. You feeling good, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. AFC West Division Standings, 2023-2024 season. Chiefs, 11-6. Raiders 8-9, mm-hmm. Broncos 8-9, mm-hmm. Chargers 5-12. That's right. A sneakily 5-12.
Yeah.
Chargers team.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's gone. Mike Williams is gone. Austin Eckler's gone. Harbaugh's in. They gotta have more than 5 wins, right?
I don't Chargers. Think so. I mean, well. More or less, like I don't see them getting less than 4. I feel like that's pretty mean. But I mean, it's also hard. I would never put money on them to go over it. Yeah.
I'm looking up who's the highest paid
on the Chargers
defense right now.
Oh, highest paid defense.
Dang.
Cleveland?
Chargers have one of the highest.
The Chargers have one of the highest
they defenses? Are second. Yes, behind the Titans. $125 million payroll for that defense. Chargers, yeah, I know. Crazy, right?
Insane.
Yeah. So, I would say Chiefs will win the division. Mm-hmm. I think Chargers and Raiders will probably finish with the same record.
That's fair.
Hey, Raiders, that's 7-8 wins.
Yeah, 8-9.
Chargers, 7-8 wins.
8-9, both of them again, and then Denver gets like 4.
Denver will be lucky to get 5. I still don't think they'll be the...
Who's their quarterback now?
Bo Nix or Zach Wilson.
Oh, dog.
Or Jason Statham.
Oh, dog.
Jason Statham.
Stidham.
Yeah, Stidham. Jason Statham's an actor.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, wow. That is the Denver Bronco quarterback room, I still think the New York Giants will finish with the worst record in the NFL, but Denver and New England and the Saints are all in that same category.
If Denver gets over 5 wins, whoever the quarterback, I assume for whatever reason, it's Zach Wilson should get most improved player if that happens.
Oh, man. If Zach Wilson leads Denver to 6-7 wins, that's a real possibility.
That's a real possibility.
That he could be a comeback player of the year candidate for Zach Wilson. Do I see that happening? No. I really would like Bo Nix to get some reps. He was really good at Oregon. And they drafted a wide receiver from Oregon as well. Judy is now on the Cleveland Browns, so they don't have to deal with that drama anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not over here trying to make a case for Denver getting more wins, just trying to find some positive in their season, because it doesn't really seem that positive when you're still paying Russell Wilson $30-plus million dollars when he's on another team. That's really difficult.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Pass the damn ball.
Would you...
Pass the damn ball.
Thank you for listening.